Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Holland, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, exploring dreams. Ever dreamt of falling or flying or awoken with a melody of Pacific lyrics playing in your head? Tonight is dream author, researcher, and songwriter Craig Webb, executive director of the Dreams Foundation. Craig will offer insights about what dreams mean and also what they can offer. He'll be speaking about dreams that come true, how to recall more dreams, and especially how to turn nightmares and anxiety dreams that you might be having into the excellent healing opportunities they're meant to be. We'll explore some very practical ways to apply dreams to improve your waking life and learn about Craig's fascinating process of composing music from dreams. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host and introducing two new hosts as well, which is a wonderful thing. Welcome to Nancy Galway. Hi, how are you tonight, Nancy?
I'm very well, Maureen. How are you?
I'm okay, you know, about my microphone, but that's okay. Would you please, it's really nice you're joining the team here, and would you please tell us a little bit about your work? You're welcome.
Well, I'm very excited to be here. It's a great show, and I'm very happy to be a part of it, and it's always a lot of fun. And excuse me, I'm a spiritual advisor as well on PsychicAccess.com, and I really enjoy that. And you might know me there as Silver Wolf. And on the site, I describe myself as an empath, intuitive, a spiritual counselor, and I feel that I'm guided by my guardian angel. So when I do a reading for someone, I do use the tarot as a guide, and I'm guided as well by angels, and I love tarot cards, and I'm finding to collect different decks, and I find the images and all the pictures are just beautiful, so I'm turning into a little bit of a tarot card deck junkie. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think it's a good thing myself, because that's what I'm all about.
It could be worse. It could be worse, yeah.
Well, thank you. And a warm welcome to Phil Powers as well. How are you tonight, Phil?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Would you tell us about your work?
What's my work? Let's see. I'm on Psychic Access, and I go by the name of Magus. There is where you'll see me. I use tarot mainly, and then all the seas and guides and everything just kind of hits me at once. And I don't do normal tarot spreads. I just do what I call a throwdown. And the cards just come out and cross over and tell a story.
Well, I like that, throwdown. Like, hold down. No, I'm not being silly. Well, it's really nice to have you joining us on the Psychic Viewpoint. I think it's wonderful. Nancy's filled in before, but now you're a regular.
I'm a regular.
And Nancy filled regulars. And Sharon is unfortunately not able to be with us tonight due to some rocket science type of thing going on in the web world in Canada. But I'm also on PsychicAccess.com, and I'm a tarot reader. And like Phil, interestingly enough, you kind of brought that up. I go off the cards. I don't need them to use them, but I kind of feel more comfortable looking at the colors or whatever I get from them. But I'm also an intuitive, and I have all the clairs going on. And I'm very objective, and I take pride with that, because being objective is, I think, the main thing that we all know this is the best way to be, because everybody's situation's different. So, with that, tonight, I would like to, we have a really great guest tonight, and his name is Craig Webb. And Craig Webb is an executive director of a nonprofit, of the Nonprofit Dreams Foundation, and for over 16 years. He also is a McGill University graduate, pioneering dream and lucid dream research at Stanford University. He's an author, columnist, and a hired, invited expert for major motion pictures, Fortune 500 companies, universities, international TV networks, magazines, and so on. He broadcasts and published cutting-edge approaches on dreams, applied psychology, communications, creativity, and the science of mind, as well as interviews with leading visionaries. His empowering trainings have enabled CEOs, celebrities, doctors, professors, best-selling authors, and world-class athlete students, and other clients from all walks of life to make profound breakthroughs while having plenty of fun. So for more information about Craig, please visit his website at http://craigweb.ca. And please stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so please be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our last show on Psychic Crime Fighter, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends and families, as it is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others, your neighbors too. So, just a minute, I think I need to make sure that I want to make sure, Craig, I think I know why he's not answering right now. So, in just a moment, I think you, Nancy, and Phil, if you guys could just, I don't know. Craig's indicating that he needs to be called on Skype at the last minute. So I need to get that to, this has never happened, because he said to call me. I need to get that to our executive producer so he can call. Because he's calling in through me and I can't get it right now. Can I bring him in that way?
Okay.
I don't know if I can. Okay. Anyway, let me see. That's a real... Well, everybody is... just a minute. Let me try to get this. This is sad. But it's not sad, but... I want to get... Because he said not to... Yeah. And I'm getting a message. You know, so he was to be called up on his number only unless he told me otherwise, and now he keeps calling me on Skype, but I don't know if I bring him in. And that is the correct number to our executive producer. But the thing is, he keeps calling me on Skype, Doug, and that means he's on Skype. So I need to get you the number. Hold on a minute. But in the meantime, you guys can talk to me.
Okay, well, we'll carry on as if we were normal.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Because Craig is saying, are you doing interview right now? Yes. Okay. Trying to call you on your number, Craig.
Okay. Hey, Maureen, do you want me to tell him about the second half
yes,
of the show
I would,
while you're doing that?
That would be lovely. Thank you.
Okay. And... the second half of the show was going to be interesting as well. Craig is going to be interviewed by Maureen for the first half, but as usual, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, and we will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you're unable to catch our last show, it was called Psychic Crime Fighter, and you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all the previous shows that were on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, which are under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate that tab and the link for future show details to your friends and families. It's a nice way to get people, give them the information, just send them the link. And it's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others.
Yeah, and I think you're doing a great job, Nancy.
Okay. And in the chat, we're all in the chat room too, so if you have a question, okay. I think we're going to take questions from the chat as well, are we?
He got him on the air. He got him online now. Thank you. Okay, hi, Craig. Fine, hi, Craig. I don't know how we got mixed up there, but there you are. And it's great. It's great to have you. And I told him a little bit about what we'll be talking about and everything else. So there you have it. So welcome to our show, and it's a great honor to have you with us tonight. So we'll just jump right in, and I'll ask you some questions here. And so I want to know, how did you become interested in personal development and the practical benefits of dreams? So you have a passion right there for the dreams. Why? So it was a river rafting? Did you say a river rafting experience that you had almost drowned? Is that what you were just saying? But I mean, I've been on the rapids. Oh. Right. Why do we have anxiety dreams, reoccurring dreams, and nightmares? Probably.
Sometimes they're called nightmares, sometimes night terrors, which are a little bit of a different whole type of experience. And then sometimes just bad dreams or stress, anxiety dreams. And it's important to note the general idea that if you're having nightmares or upsetting dreams, I usually say, lucky you. You can see that on the website.
Because why?
There's a whole article. Lucky you, because it's a DVD, and by that I mean a darn valuable dream. It offers an opportunity where you can turn it around, change it. You're getting at least a message, a warning, kind of like the smoke alarm in your house or maybe the oil light on your car. You're getting an early warning of something in your psyche that's out of balance or maybe a bad decision you're going to make soon, according to your current trends. But the warning comes to hopefully guide you away from that unfortunate future. If you listen to it, then it becomes a gift. That's why I say lucky you.
Right, and probably people should write down these lucky you dreams.
Sorry, do you mind repeating? I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, all these technical problems in my mind. It's a good idea for people to write down these unlucky dreams. write them down so they can be of assistance for them. Because a lot of people don't remember, even though they're reoccurring, they don't remember because they have an anxiety. So it would be a good idea for them to write down these uneasy dreams, I guess. Because a lot of people like to write down the lovely dreams, it seems like. The more nicer dreams.
All right. Well, I encourage people, don't put a Band-Aid over the oil light, you know. If it's bugging you and beeping at you, like kind of the nightmares are coming, in other words, then it's better to sort of check it out. Maybe speak to somebody who's fluent in the language, or at least kind of contemplate the dream a little bit yourself. Maybe draw it, paint it, somehow review it, or ask another dream for an insight about it, because it is actually a really good dream. So if people can interpret it as that, it's kind of avoiding a really bad waking future. So writing it down is good, or sometimes people speak into a little voice recorder or their cell phone or any way to kind of record or catch it is fine.
Right. Well, you know, I wonder, many years ago I used to have a reoccurring dream this was many, when I was younger, 18 or something like that. And it was one where I was running from somebody who was trying to shoot me. And it was, I'd always wake myself up before actually getting shot. And someone mentioned to me that, why don't I let myself be shot and see what happened? And I did that, and I never had to dream again, and it was almost like I felt a sense of relief and liberating feeling from it.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty common experience. You might be surprised. 81.5% of people have that chase dream.
Yeah, but they usually get scared. They don't want to.
Not always a shooting, but a general chase archetype, a big one. That's cross-cultural now around the world, not just our culture. So we're talking about deep, deep lessons in the psyche, and it sounds like you kind of got the lesson. Don't run away from that part of yourself that that character represents. Turn around, face it, dialogue, or surrender to it like you did, baby. And shooting, well, that's a little more specific. Have you ever had challenges with anger?
Well, yeah. I fester in them. Yeah, something like that. And I sleepwalk, too, so.
Shooting hard comments, an inner part of you like that wants to like shoot people. I mean,
I don't want to shoot people.
You learn how to express your assertiveness more.
No, I don't really literally want to shoot people. But I feel like it was good that I was shot.
You can take out your dream Uzi.
But do you have any suggestions for people who suffer from such dreams? Well, such dreams. Like, if I had talked to you about this dream, I guess. That was an anxiety, a recurring nightmare as far as I was concerned. If I had told you about it, what would you have told me? Like, I was told to just, not wake up and let it keep going.
First off, I would have shared lucky you, like I just did, so that you kind of reframe it, if you didn't already know that it's a gift in disguise. And then you have more chance to kind of look at it, contemplate it, and maybe do something new. In this case, you used a technique of sort of lucidity, or you intentionally changed the dream, perhaps not fully conscious in the dream, but at least before sleep, you said, I got to try something new here.
Right.
And
so that's the best thing for us to do.
That on our website.
The lucid dreaming. So that's part of lucid dreaming? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that could be lucid dreaming. That's a common experience, sort of the end of the recurring chase nightmare for people who try that. And there's some techniques for that at dreams.ca on the website, how to go lucid, and also how to rescript that DVD, the Darn Valuable Dream, how to shift it to something more empowering, not to end as a victim or in fear or however it ends,
Right. So how else might dreams be helpful in our waking life, or can you give concrete examples?
Sure. Well, when I lead teleclasses, which I do quite often, a very powerful way over about 10 weeks where people get all these transformations, usually the first week comes as a big series. Everybody gets their nightmare, a bit like you did. So something they haven't been listening to starts, kind of yelling at them, and that's why the nightmare or upsetting dream comes. But then once that's kind of taken care of, I say clearing out the backlog, of emotions and lessons that haven't been dealt with. Then all the interesting applications come, such as incredible creative insight. Have you heard this song before? Scrambled eggs. Oh, my baby, how I love your legs.
Yes, I have.
So you know that Paul McCartney woke up with that melody and turned it into the song yesterday.
So
we can get great creative insights. In fact, the founder of Google, Larry Page, dreamt the key idea for now it's about a $200 billion company. And then turned it into a reality. Payoffs and creativity. Then other things like healing, sometimes emotional healing with our partner, our family, friends who we've got estranged with, or sometimes even physical healing. I've seen people sort of heal cancer, heal certain diseases, and certainly sort of energy level healings of depression or that kind of thing, but even physical healing. And then interesting things like skill rehearsal. Actually, the German Olympic ski team uses lucid dreaming to practice their aerial maneuvers in dreams before they try them out physically, which is safer. And also they're actually training. The research in the lab, in the sleep lab, shows they're actually training their balance, their blood flow, and their brain, and probably their own enthusiasm and confidence too. But they're training physical systems, how to react differently and how to respond and how to do the proper maneuver in waking life. So another payoff. And there's about three or four other big realms that it can pay off in people's lives.
Well, now, okay, you're talking about lucid dreaming, and for people that are listening to this may not know what exactly that is.
Yeah,
so could you explain?
If you want. A bit like the movie Inception. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. I did. Oh, I also saw Vanilla Sky. You know,
Sky's another one, or Groundhog Day. It's kind of a
yeah, but I mean, it's something that you do. You're talking about in sleep labs, for instance. Well, can you explain it? How lucid dreaming is different? Well, for everybody out here that doesn't know that terminology, I don't think a lot of people, they've heard it, but I don't think they understand it.
Yeah, well, it's a fancy.
Hello?
To use different. Oh, I got some big vehicle moving through there. Hello.
Okay.
Still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you. I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. So, lucid dreaming is a science phrase to describe the official cutoff for that experience might be something like recognizing during a dream that you're actually dreaming. So that's you. I put a little bit of quotes around the word, but you in the dream knows that you're dreaming. But there's lots of variations. Sometimes you kind of know. Sometimes you can fly and you wonder how that's strange. Or sometimes you think, wow, if this was a dream, I guess I could really fly longer. But since I can only fly 10 seconds, I guess I'm not dreaming. But there's lots of variations between the full lucidity and then sort of starting to recognize it's a dream. And then also I sort of loosely use the term lucidity, adding consciousness, really adding more awareness to the fact that we can actually intentionally guide dreams before we fall asleep. Just by the thoughts we hold, many people do it unconsciously when you go to bed all stressed about something. Usually you have a whole bunch of stress dreams about the same topic, sometimes with a solution, but more often than not just a broken sleep. Or if we clear our mind, which I highly recommend, very important practice, before sleep, then we can actually tune into a topic or a question, or maybe we want to meet somebody, kind of like an inner version of Skype. We can see someone who's at a distance and have a nice connection. So we can use dreams more consciously, and I sort of say if we do it before sleep, that's the beginning of lucidity also.
Okay, so it'd be like a conscious thing for me to, ideally, would be try to clear my mind, or consciously saying, okay, I'd like to have a dream where I try to consciously make it to where it would be beneficial to me. That's lucid dreaming.
Yeah, well, lucid dreaming officially, scientifically, is knowing that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. But adding lucidity on sort of the whole spectrum of more awareness begins with intentionally dreaming, starting to remember our dreams. And then on the far end of the spectrum, there's experiences we might not even call dreams, where we start to have full presence of ourself in the dream, of ourself mm-hmm. in the bed, and then we start to have waking experiences that feel very dreamlike, and then we can interpret life symbolically, which I call lucid living, and that, I teach all that in the teleclasses too, but we can really, really become, united, or a sort of a wedding between our dreaming selves and our waking selves, and that's full-blown lucid living. So very conscious in dreams and in life.
Yeah, you know, one of my co-hosts, Phil, has a question for you, which I think is a very... Phil, are you there?
I am. What was my question?
You asked if you can interact with your dream.
Yes. And if you're in a lucid dream, can you interact and change the way that it's going?
Yeah, and have you had that experience before?
Can you slay the dragon instead of being eaten by it?
Yeah, if you get creative, you could become the dragon.
Okay, cool.
You can shift identity. You can certainly shift your own reaction, the latter being a very wise behavior because it always translates into waking life. So, yeah, just like Maureen did, you know, you can surrender into being shot, or you can turn around and say, hey, bullets don't work on me. This is the Matrix, or whatever variation you like. It doesn't always completely follow our conscious will, but many times it does, and there's lots of interesting variations. But if it's an unpleasant scenario, like the dragon, you can almost always shift at least your subjective viewpoint, which is a very important lesson for waking life.
Interesting. Well, good informative stuff. Well, Phil, that answered your question there, I hope, yeah.
That was very good. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Craig, what about people who have precognitive, dreams, who dream of events that come true?
Yeah. Have you had those before?
Well, you know, I myself have had very, very few, and I sometimes wish I had them more, but when I have had them, they've been not the, of the best. They've been ones that were
sort of warnings.
I could never have done anything about it, but I had a dream once. Oh, it was about a plane crash, and I live in California, and I saw the and it was a plane crash, but it wasn't anything I could have figured. It was awful. So it's been a very rare, but I do know that some people do have that. You know, we're all into it. We're all psychic. We're all that. But I myself don't consider my dreams like that. Just very rare. Very rare.
Well, here's a little tip for you, because I always like to make it personal, you know, and your lesson can also extrapolate to everybody. But just like life, that we dream and experience what we're interested in and sort of what fits our model of the world. So we attract events just like we attract dreams. The law of attraction here works, especially in dreams. So if, I guess, media events or things concern you in life, if you follow the news a little more, you're more likely to dream of upsetting media on the inner level, sort of the internet, I like to call it. You can tune into, I guess, public events. But there's lots of other great ways you can use this same skill. The internet has many different types of sites you can go to. You can get stock tips if you want to start to pick up on financial futures. You can find out who's the best partner for a relationship and get insight into maybe a new boyfriend or girlfriend to see if they're going to be healthy or maybe they're going to be an unfortunate choice. So you kind of get inside info on things that are important to you. And that happens pretty common. I'd say I have a few a week. I mean, I've trained it as a bit of a mental muscle, but anybody who starts to believe that it's possible and look into it can train that.
Oh, okay, so we can all have, well, it's like a psychic ability. Well, I think we all have that. You know, nothing special, we all have it. So what you're saying is actually is we can develop that.
Yeah, and also you can focus it. Yeah. So most people have a pretty good access the moment they start remembering dreams, so they can kind of get on the internet easily. But learning how to focus and spend your time efficiently and also sort of remove all the noise from the signal, in other words, go to the right site and get the right information right away, that does take a little practice. A bit like working out a muscle in waking life. We get better as we use it.
Right. And, well, you know, I do know that I've had dreams that they're old tapes, I think, from dysfunction that end up coming true that have to do with homes. Not having a home, I don't know. And maybe those are things I don't want to know about coming true. I think that those
well,
are, like you said.
Of yours.
Well, it's like manifesting. You can also manifest some negativity. So, I don't want to kill people. I'm not a negative manifestation of person. But, I understand what you're saying. I'm just thinking out the top of my dream head. Craig, for instance, you've had dreams then of events that have come true then, is what you're saying, from developing this.
Yeah. Many times.
And do you find that it's beneficial that you have those type of dreams?
It can certainly be very practically useful. I would like to also add, maybe as a psychic who tunes more intuitively, that in waking life that is, that it's not always obvious how to use what ends up being a very powerful skill. You know, you can get inside info or knowledge about the future, and sometimes very accurate, having to do with personal dynamics, business dealings, sometimes weather, outside things. So it sort of becomes a bit more responsibility. Even if you look at that word, responsibility, you have more awareness, you have more knowledge, so you have more chance to respond, more ability to respond consciously. And unfortunately, it goes up a little bit in cost if we know something and we know how to do something better and then we don't follow it.
Exactly.
People, if you're really looking at something and you really want the inside info and you'll act on it and, you know, you'll do your best and you won't beat yourself up if you don't make the wisest choice with the inside info because it's not always super clear. But if you are very clear about it, then it's good to ask or receive that. And if it just spontaneously comes, like it does for some people, then it's usually really important because our psyche doesn't just randomly send stuff. So if something spontaneously comes, it's always a good idea to make an attempt and I encourage not just asking what does the dream mean, which is a good question, you know, interpreting and understanding, but even more important and more insightful for, I guess, waking life practical payoff is to ask a question, what does the dream want? And that question itself will actually bring some of the insights, a little bit like a filter. It'll filter in the insights of what actions might be wise for you to take.
Oh, that's interesting. That's good info. What does the dream want? Oh, that's great. That makes sense to me. So what inspired you to become a public speaker and performing recording musician?
That's cool. Another part of it. I had the great privilege to share on a show with James Cameron last year about my song that I recorded last summer for the oil spill. Kind of a joke parody environmental green song, but with kind of a subtle message of, hey, you know, let's clean up the environment. You can check it out on iTunes. It's called Polymers. I guess that leads into why I developed that more, because, first of all, Dreams have been pushing for it lots to share more creative outputs, I guess, the writing and especially the music. And also, it just naturally started coming, so when I asked what does the dream want, it wanted to become a gift for more than just me and my private dream database, because I record all these little melodies that come to me. And speaking was a natural outlet. I think any time that we get insights or things that can be beneficial for anybody else, it's kind of like the fruits on our tree. It's a very healthy thing in life to give it away so they don't go sour on our bush, otherwise we start to feel unfulfilled, bitter, or at least we're not sort of contributing our message to the world. So I think that's where the public part came out. And I seem to have a little knack for it, and I find a lot of passion and joy doing it, so that's a bonus for me.
Were you a musician? Were you into that before you became, you know, the Dream Foundation, you found it, but I mean, is that something that's just... an added bonus feature that came out?
That's a good question. It sort of followed at the same time. I guess I'd always been somewhat interested in music, playing the piano a little bit as a kid. But no formal training particularly, and I wasn't planning on pursuing it in any serious way. Until I picked up a guitar, and I guess the inner muse sort of tuned in right at that moment too. In about a year is when I had my near drowning, when I started really playing guitar. And I guess the word itself kind of shows that the inner muse can deliver music just as easily. People might be surprised too. There's a lot of great and famous music and musicians who use dreams very consciously or very intentionally for their song inspirations. Paul McCartney's number two and number one hits, not just Yesterday, but also Let It Be, came from a dream. And Billy Joel says most of his lyrics, inspirations for, some of the arrangements and everything come in dreams, the melodies too. And many others too. There's a list of about 20 or 30 that I have, but I'm sure many others.
Right. So that's wonderful for you. Maybe that was something that was always there. Now look at, there you are. And that's wonderful. So are you, what are some specific examples of breakthroughs you have seen with people you work with?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, a big one often in the teleclasses, I guess just the nature of what everybody wants and what fulfills their lives, is relationship. So when people kind of commit a certain amount of time to their personal growth, in this case, it doesn't have to be the teleclasses, but in this case, it's people commit 10 weeks, and not a lot of time, but weekly installments are kind of looking more at their dreams. And the big payoff isn't just sort of getting some of the insights and the healings that come. It's also the moment that you start recalling and recording dreams, even if you never did look at them, you're actually developing something in waking life that most people would want to have more of. You know what we call it?
No.
We call it intuition. And just recalling dreams is the same thing as developing intuition. It's kind of the same channel of information, non-logical, I guess, inspiration. So I guess when people start opening up that channel and they put a clear intention into their life.
Then, well, you know, what about that show Medium? Where she's having all, have you ever seen that show that she's having all her dreams? Everything's it's kind of chaotic, but her dreams are all her intuition messages come through her dreams, mostly.
Yeah, and her intuition grew.
Have you seen that? Had you seen that show? It's not on anymore. But have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's based off a real person. What's her name? Alison Dubois.
Oh, okay. The TV show Medium. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
We can use it to help police detectives also. I haven't had any police dreamers, but a woman who was in the teleclasses actually chose to sort of manifest or create a relationship. Didn't have any idea how it was going to come. And what's interesting is that we meet once a week. She didn't remember two dreams, and she wasn't overly motivated because she had a very full life. But on the last class, actually during the class, which was amazing to all of us, she started getting roses delivered on her desk because she was at the office. During the class, the first dream and pretty much the only clear dream she had in the class was roses coming to her. Came true, I guess, a premonition, and turned out the person delivering them became her new life partner. So sometimes they're a little more magical.
Well, bless her heart.
And then other times we act.
And all the, a lot of people like that kind of, well, relationship, anything to do with roses, too, relationships. Well, that's pretty, that's cool. That's the manifestation of that, too, of wanting. So that's lovely for people out there listening to want to get a relationship.
That's kind of clear, I guess, become the person that would be most interested in the relationship and also meet the most interesting partner. So it probably works from two levels, from the inside out, and also we might get insights for actions to take of how to meet the person.
Right. We're going to take a short commercial break from psychicaccess.com, and we'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Craig Webb. And Craig, I wanted to ask you, I understand that you also train people for using biofeedback, which I think is really cool, because I don't know what that means, but well, I know what biofeedback is. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, sure. Biofeedback, just for those folks who may not be familiar with the term, is usually, not 100%, but usually, I guess, electronics that pick up a body signal, something like perhaps our heart rate or our skin temperature, our peripheral temperature on our hands is often a very good measure, or sometimes brain waves, different parts of our body and anatomy and physiology, and then gives it back to us in a, I guess, non-intrusive manner, so just something like an audio tone or maybe some pictures on a computer screen that teach us and guide us how to enter into certain states or how to leave, I guess, states that we're not experiencing. Simple example is how to de-stress. We can teach ourselves with something as simple as learning how to warm our hands consciously. I don't mean sticking them under the hot water, but I mean just kind of intentionally relaxing, letting go, and warming up our hands is an incredible stress reliever and also a good way to get rid of headaches. So a little practical tip there for folks. Just measure the temperature of your hands against the back of your cheek. It's a very good way to kind of get a cheap biofeedback device when you're stressed or getting a headache.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I've had biofeedback, I mean, years ago from a therapist, one of my many therapists. And but this is you're using biofeedback with the dream. Is this what I'm understanding?
I certainly use biofeedback in the sleep lab. It's mainly just biomonitoring a lot of the time because we're picking up signals. But occasionally, and one device that I designed that's now been sold all around the world, it's quite famous in its realm, actually helps people become conscious during dreams. So it watches the eye movement signals that people have when they have REM sleep. You've heard of that before, REM?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And,
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And
So it gives flashing lights or sound and helps to cue the person that they're sleeping and become conscious during the dream. Without waking them up, they actually become kind of awake within the dream. So that's been a sleep mask that's sold all around the world. And there's a few other devices we're working on, too, that'll be pretty fun when I guess they're ready to market.
So those are like sleeping masks, you say? They're like masks,
yeah, and actually one of them, one device will be for insomnia, so it's not exactly dream-related, but it'll help us have better dreams.
Right.
And then other devices can actually change our type of dreams, can help us be more relaxed going to bed, or like you probably had in waking life, learn how to respond or less, I guess, react less to waking situations. If we're getting stressed, that's a big one. Actually, biofeedback resolves over about 400 disorders, from autism to writer's block to Asperger's syndrome. Many, many common things that don't require surgery can be resolved with simple, non-intrusive biofeedback. So I'm really glad that you're helping get the word out more. It's really important.
Yes, especially with what you're doing, it goes beyond just dream. I mean, it's a lot more. This is very informative, I feel, because there's a lot more to it than just, oh, having a dream and just call it a day, and or dreaming that, you know, whatever. I want to ask you something about the Gansfeld. Did I say it right? Gansfeld. Have you heard of the Gansfeld experiment before?
I'm not sure if I understand what the word is.
Gansfeld. It wasn't by a man. Well, it's okay. It's what you actually. What you're talking about a mask, and I thought maybe it might apply, but maybe not. And there's lights, but you're awake, but it goes on for 40 minutes, and it's like a biofeedback, I guess, but it's from a man that did this, I don't know, 40 years ago, but I just thought I'd bring it up. You would know if you know. But do you have any simple tips that you can share for the listeners, our listeners and viewers, about how to remember and work with their dreams?
Sure. Well, just to mention about the Gansfeld, I think you might be talking about light and sound machines.
Yes, I am. I am.
Gansfeld is kind of a special case for that. I didn't quite catch your word before, sorry. Light and sound machines can be very valuable in the same way as, I guess, biofeedback. They sort of help train us into a state. Usually the ones that do some kind of physiological monitoring are better, just so that it's kind of tuning to our personal situation in our body, unless we're sort of, a master advanced user and we know exactly what we're doing. Otherwise, we can induce strange states that may not be helpful. So it's a good idea that it has some feedback in the loop. So that's the bio part, the biofeedback.
I just did that on my trip for the first time. I went to Nashville or Tennessee last week, and I did that experiment for the first time. That's why I asked you about it, because it was interesting for me, and I did it with somebody that was, you know, knew what they were doing, but I just didn't know if it kind of interweaved with what you were talking about a bit. But I was awake for it, but it was interesting with lights and, you know, you put those things over your eyes,
turning off all the physical input. Another one that I guess used to be a little more popular was the, flotation tanks, where you kind of don't hear or see or feel too much, and you can kind of go into the other world. So.
Right.
The variations. I think sort of meditation would be the fancy common word that we use for that. But
right.
You can definitely induce and help it a little bit with certain techniques and sometimes technology. But to kind of answer your other question, simple tips that people might want. Well, first off, for kind of getting the internet connection, that is looking how to get more dreams or recall our dreams better, I encourage people to check out the website at dreams.ca for some pretty common tips that they can try there, and very effective also, just kind of Betty Crocker, but Betty Crocker knows how to bake a quick cake. So.
Yes, she does.
Dream recall tips. And I'll say the most important one is kind of turn off all the physical senses as you're waking up. In other words, try to avoid waking up to an alarm, or try to avoid waking up and opening your eyes, or if you open your eyes, close them, and especially movement. So if you wake up and change body position or move around, then just go back to the same position that you were in right when you woke up, and that'll help an awful lot to start recalling dreams. So there's a couple recall tips, and then there's lots of other tips. I can give a really great tip for helping to understand our dreams, which is really useful. So once we're starting to get the data, how to interpret a little better. Just a simple suggestion, really. Just, I guess, an affirmation or just a belief that you can plant, a little bit like this, a seed in your mind garden, that it's very easy and natural to not only recall dreams, but understand what they mean and, more importantly, to understand what they want. As a natural soundtrack to the dream visuals, maybe you'll get a channel of thoughts coming that explain the dream and what it wants, the actions to take. Or maybe somebody will come right inside the dream and interpret it on the fly, like a narrator. I've seen people do that. But to install that belief, or kind of like a software package, that it's easy and natural, is a world of difference than if we don't. It's sort of like if on a computer, if you install a piece of software, it works. If you don't, you can never use it. So try that affirmation or belief. It can really work wonders.
Well, you know, I was on the dream site. You just gave talking about Betty Crocker, and there's a lot of great information on that. I was on that page for a long time. Is that the one site you were talking about just now for everybody? I suggest
they go check it out. www.dreams.ca, and people can find out about the teleclasses. But there's lots of great free articles, too. There's lucid dreaming tips, how to face nightmares, how to solve certain sleep problems, lots of other great stuff. And pretty soon, probably going to have a whole dream interpretation engine, which is a little bit sort of Betty Crocker, but some universal symbolism tips to help people open up the messages in their dreams. So definitely stop by dreams.ca a few times this summer to see that when it's working.
Well, I think it's great because it's user-friendly. I understood it. So if it's Betty Crocker, it is. I mean, it was easy for me to understand
what the article is. Anybody can use it. Take it away. It's yours. That's the idea.
So how would
gets
someone
the dream, learn? So by nature they're empowering.
Yeah, exactly. And so how it's, well, someone was asking in the we have a chat room that goes on the show here as well, and someone was asking about any upcoming events that you might be having.
Oh, great. So for listeners who might want to find out more, well, if anybody is creatively inspired, on June 12th to 18th, I'm teaching a retreat in the Bahamas. So that'll be at the Shivananda Center in the Bahamas. And that'll be very powerful, in-depth, and live for a week. But I know not everybody can travel or has the budget to do something like that, and also they may not want to in the middle of the summer. So that'll be teleclasses. People can try from the comfort of their own home, just using a computer connection, or by phone also. And they can join these powerful 10-week teleclasses, which is social and fun because it's a group. But it's also the most budgetary and most, I guess, transformative way that I do my work now, because I can reach people at a distance. And also it's over 10 weeks, so all the shifts and the techniques and the skills sort of organically integrate rather than just kind of a weekend of blast. Here's a whole bunch of knowledge and then people forget about it. So that's really the best way. Check out dreams.ca for the teleclasses. And other kind of events are planned on the horizon, nothing that I can mention at the moment, except maybe the website interpretation engine that might really interest people later in the summer.
Do you offer individual counseling or coaching?
Oh, thanks. Absolutely. If people want to go a little more in-depth and they have the budget, it's really the most breakthrough way to work. Simply get personal attention, and they can check in dreams.ca and send an email there. Or actually, the private site for my counseling is dream-interpretation.net, dream-interpretation.net. But it's not only dream interpretation. I work with very powerful relationship transformation skills, nonviolent communication, or what I call conscious communication, and many other techniques to make real, real breakthroughs. So if you're ripe for ending some recurring patterns or just moving to a next level, sign on up. Yeah, I'll really love to share that with you.
Well, so you do individual one-on-one, you're a busy guy, but you do one-on-one individual counseling, or what would you call it, dream therapy?
I call it lucid living training, because I don't like people to think that they have to be in therapy. They're just basically mastering the skills that they already have, but they're getting a coach who's walked many of the fields. lucid living training. If you want to call it counseling or therapy, sure, that's fine. But I usually think of it as breakthrough work. Sometimes it's success skills in business, but using the hunch, the intuition, the inner guidance, it can really make it way more efficient, you know. Choosing the business deal that's going to be the big win over the next 6 months rather than wasting 6 months on a poorly made choice. So a little bit of inner guidance can save a lot of outer trouble. And that comes from the training, too. And then lots of sort of, coaching skills end up in there, too.
Well, I have two of my co-hosts have a question for you that I think is of interest. And so, Nancy, do you want to, Nancy and Phil, so one of you can ask. We have a few more minutes, so go for it.
Okay. Ladies first.
Okay. Hi, Craig. Great show, by the way. Very interesting. And the question I have is, I used to have this reoccurring dream, and I think I talked about it on the night that we had the dolphin show, and it was about dolphins. I used to dream over and over and over again for many, many, many years that I was in the... Now, I grew up by the ocean, and I can't swim.
Okay, great.
But I love... Yeah. And I used to dream that I was riding dolphins all the time, and it was a really soothing dream. And I wondered if I have some theories on it, but I'd be interested in knowing what you thought, if it was a symbolic dream with the animals, or was there more going on?
Well, I empower you to say usually the dreamer is their own best expert. And I like people to really keep their power about their dreams. They come to you. I can offer some insights from what I've seen, I guess, over statistics, but they may or may not gel with you. So you have the final word if anything I say is correct. But on one level, I think it may have been kind of a compensation dream, sort of when things are going tough in your life, your dreams say, hey, give her a break, give her a vacation, help her feel a little bit lighter, freer, let's do the dolphin dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have come.
That makes sense, because
it could have similarly
at the time, I had them for years, and then they stopped.
Okay, well, it might have been at a really tough time. And also, it can sometimes be almost the opposite, but the same kind of function, that it's sort of a feedback dream of when things are going really well. It's just kind of showing you, hey, you're free, you're floating, you're flying. Other people have a variation on yours where they're sort of flying or skating along and rollerblading and things like that. So a freedom, not kind of stuck on the earth or friction on the ground. So the other level might be sort of getting more trust and facing the fear of water and the emotional waves, the symbolics of the waves of the ocean, learning how to ride through the emotional challenges that pretty much everybody has to face at some point, and having friends and guides, dolphins in this case, to do it. And then symbolically, it might be a strong connection with sort of a power animal on the shamanic level. Maybe dolphins is big for you. By the way, check out spiritual-retreats.net. That's a website that actually lead dolphin trips in the Bahamas. So I don't know if that's going to inspire you, but maybe you have a chance to face your fear of being in the water, too.
Okay. Thank you.
That sounds great. Well, you know, I jump out of airplanes. I skydive. I'm not afraid of nothing.
I'm not usually afraid of anything, but water I am. In the water I am. On the water I'm okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, thanks. No,
well,
thanks,
ask
Nancy.
Ask the dolphins to dive down with you next time. Let's go face those fears. You don't want to meet death's door with fears left inside. And you can practice
exactly.
It's true. And then in waking life, maybe you'll do it a little bit.
And Phil had a question. Thank you, Nancy. That was great that you shared that, because I thought that was I live at the beach. I love the dolphins, but that makes sense to me. But Phil, you had a question as well.
Yeah, this is a great topic, by the way. But how many times a night do we dream, and how long do they last for?
Oh, that's a good one. He likes the research side. Well, it sort of depends how you, delineate what's a dream. If you count it a bit as kind of, sort of scene in a movie, you might have many hundreds a night, or at least maybe tens. And if you count it as a certain period of, REM sleep, probably average person on average night about 4 to 6 times. But the duration of our REM cycle in each sleep cycle is about 90 minutes, and the REM cycle is a smaller portion of that. And the portion of the REM of the sleep that is REM, the sleep cycle, is increases throughout the night. Probably you know this experientially by the fact that in the morning you can many times clearly remember and sometimes even surf back into your dreams pretty easily, because there's a big long period of REM sleep and your waking and dreaming minds are very close together, so it's easy to kind of do dream re-entry. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So early in the morning. Just start to wake up and go, wait, this is a good one, and roll back over.
Well, or if you're having nightmares, still go back into it, but change the ending like Maureen did with her shooting dream.
That was a great question, Craig.
Or if you're nasty, maybe you'll take a dolphin and ask it to dive down. So you
don't <after it. laughs> Hey, Craig, you're funny. Craig, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Your knowledge and your continued research is really amazing to me, and I think to others here. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. And I send you well wishes and have a lovely evening as well. And
thanks. It's been a privilege talking with all of you folks.
Thank you. And everybody, you can find out more about Craig Webb at http://craigwebb.calca. And his contact information is on our guest page as well at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So there you have it.
And I wish all you folks and all the listeners not just sweet dreams, but also, if you're lucky, happy nightmares.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. They're good ones. Thanks, yeah. Craig.
Okay, take care. Good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. He was interesting. There he's going. Okay, so is everybody still with me? Uh-oh. Am I all alone?
Yes.
Okay, guys.
You're all alone, Maureen.
I'm all alone. I'm in a dream. I'm in lucid dream. Please be sure to visit. I'm going to take a few minutes to make a few announcements. So please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accurately tested, I don't my grammar, you know, I'm from Atlantis, to sets of psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And I mean that too, really, I do. I really do. So all of the co-hosts here on site are here on Psychic Access. All of us here on PsychicAccess.Radio.com work at PsychicAccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. So for more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So if you like our show, please invite your friends, your family, their relatives to join in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. So the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is, so hopefully you have your pen and paper ready, is 724-444-4851. And I'll give that number out again in a little bit, but there you have it. If you want to put that up in the chat room, Nancy, if you can do that too as well. And hello to everybody out in the chat room. Hello! Because I'm not there, I say hello. So this brings us to the fun time that we're going to have with our fun bantering, I call it. So for Nancy, you have a future.
I have no future.
You have visioned future events in your dreams. What are they? See, you have those.
Well, I had a lot of different ones, but the ones that, of course, when you're dreaming,
them. You don't realize that it's a future event that's going to happen. But I used to journal my dreams, and I stopped doing that. But after listening to the show tonight, I'm going to start recording them because it was very interesting, and I think I learned a lot tonight. But I used to dream about where I now live. And I've only been here 3 years, but I used to see, and I've moved around a lot, and so I'm a bit of a gypsy, but now this is my last move for the rest of this lifetime anyway, but I used to dream about all these long reeds down a long country road and living at a house right at the very end, and now I do live on a very long country road that's very isolated with all these long reeds, so it was a very nice dream that I'm happy to say came true. But at the time, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense to me because I was like, where is this place? And, you know, but I found it, and now I'm home.
Well, that's what he's talking about, manifesting. That's lovely. Manifesting.
Totally.
But see, I tend to manifest some negative things, I feel, from old tapes. There's some old tapes that goes in my head. So I was trying to explain to him. But that's lovely because that's something everybody, we all can, you know, do, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, he talked about, I have a niece that does this with her cell phone, and it's funny, I've heard her, she's let me listen to a couple, and she'll wake up, and she's like, oh, groggy, and she starts, I'm dreaming about it. And she puts in her cell phone, you know, which is a great idea. Instead of, you know, if you're not going to write it down, so she goes, it's really interesting, I've heard, you know.
I think I'm going to start doing that because it's hard to wake up and write sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's hard to wake up and speak sometimes. I think I'm going to use my phone because I sleep with my phone, as everybody does, right?
Yeah, I think they have relationships like that with their phones, yes.
I do. I have, and I use it as my alarm, which now Craig says not to wake up to an alarm, so but I find I need one, so I think I'm going to start doing that, taping that when I wake up.
I think so, because, you know, absolutely, it was amazing, because she would go right back to sleep when she would be woken up.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking, that is a great idea to do that, and it was funny listening to her, because especially when she's having dreams about me. She's an adult. She's an adult woman, but my niece. But I was going, oh, that's a great idea. So when he talked about that, he said something about cell phones or putting in your cell phone. And, yeah, that's a great idea because people do sleep with them. What affairs they have with phones. So, Phil.
Oh, God, my secret's out.
I know the cat's out of the bag. Phil, do you think we can control or be an active participant in our dreams? Oh, yeah, you think so? Phil? Oh, Phil. Where'd Phil go?
Oh, Phil had his mute button on.
Phil's not mute anymore.
How are you?
Oh, you heard me. You heard me ask you that question.
I did. I believe you can, and actually, it was talked about earlier. And a couple of weeks ago, one of my buddies kept saying he was dreaming that he was winning the lottery and collecting the check. And I said, "Well, you keep having this dream," and he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, can you go into your dream and move around?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, next time you're in there, look at the card with the numbers on it, you idiot."
Now, is that lucid dreaming? Is that what you call
that? That would be lucid dreaming, when you can go in and change things and see things. And yes,
a director, you can direct. You could be a director.
Very good. Yes.
So have you, so did he do that? Now are you guys living high on the hog?
not yet.
That's a great idea.
I haven't seen him for 2 weeks, but yeah, he said he's going to do that, and I've played for the next 3 months, and he'll give me half if he wins. So,
I'm rooting
for him.
So he's a pal of yours, but have you had any? Have you done anything like that in yours? Have you been active participant? You know, control.
I have. I can't recall anything specific.
Right.
But when you're in there, yeah, you can. You can change what's going on. You can change the scenery if you wish. You can use it a lot to conquer fears.
Right.
And to do releasing. So you can do a lot in there. But you have to be aware you're there.
You see, that's the thing I think nowadays, well, for me, the dreaming and, you know, there's a lot of different dreams. If you look at some people, the I have a sister who's a psychologist, and she's a transpersonal psychology, and she's, you know, PhD, whatever she is. Anyway, she she's all, you know, book learned and, you know, degreed. But she would always talk about the way she would, I'd talk about some dream, and she would say, well, everybody in your dream is a part of you. And so I would never, this is really new to me about lucid. I mean, I heard, like I said, I saw Vanilla Sky. If you saw that, that was a crazy movie. With yeah, that was out there. Tom Cruise.
That was freaky.
It was freaky.
The dreaming movie, yeah, that was freaky.
Yeah, that was, but that was the first time I'd ever heard of lucid dreaming. So now I've been reading more and more when I was looking for a guest, and I found Craig. He was ideal because he has the foundation and all this. But I still, even when I asked him, but lucid dreaming, can anybody, I mean, you're in REM, aren't you? Aren't you sleeping? I mean, how can you, I'm still a little confused. I don't know if anybody else might be.
But if you're dreaming and you're being chased, then you're really subconsciously aware that you're being chased,
right?
So you can subconsciously make yourself turn around.
Well, then I do know it
is a chaser. Did I oversimplify that?
No, you're right, because when I was, I think I said,
I don't want the host calling back in and yelling at me or the guest.
No one's going to call, yeah, they're going to track your, yeah. I guess I wasn't consciously aware of the fact that I was able to change it, but I did change it, because I remember I was told about, you know, when someone gave me the power of suggestion in my mind, and instead of running, and this dream had been going on for years, to let yourself be shot. And it wasn't like I turned around and faced, I just, instead of waking up, I let the gun and the bullet, let it go. I allowed it instead of waking up. So I guess that is a part of I was able to control my dream. That is it.
After you were shot, were you okay?
Absolutely. I never felt that. I never had that dream again either.
Perfect.
But see, I wasn't consciously aware that I was doing, allowing, you know what I mean? I wasn't, now I understand. A lot of us may be lucid dreamer. It's just almost like the wording lucid dreaming became very popular in the past, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years, I don't know. So I guess that's what is lucid dreaming. A lot of us are having it, we don't even realize it. We are redoing the dream or directing it as a director. Because like I said, you know, I didn't know it, but I did.
But you did well.
But I didn't know. Yes, I did. But I didn't realize it's called lucid dreaming. I guess that, like I said, so as far as I was concerned, I was dreaming. But I obviously put I had that in the back of my mind, just let it happen. But I was sound asleep, as far as I knew. But really, was I? Yeah, but aware of it. It's almost like a paradox. I love it when I can use that word. I think that word can apply. Huh? Yes, I say it can. So,
hold on, yes. I'm Googling that word.
Yeah, you can find it, and it'll apply. Nancy, I know you talked about this, but let's revisit it. You used to have recurring dream for years about dolphins, and I know I didn't hear all of it.
So,
I did a show on dolphins not too long ago, as a matter of fact, a show just on dolphins. But what do you think? So I was trying to listen to Craig a little bit. I didn't hear the gist of it, but what do you think it meant, and do you still get them? So let's visit that.
I don't get them anymore, and it's funny now that I'm thinking, because I got them late in my teens and then in my early 20s, and what Craig was saying, one of the things he said was that maybe because it was such an enjoyable dream, because even though I don't swim, I was on top of the water, which I love, with the dolphins, and it was such a beautiful dream that he said maybe it was uplifting me during a rough time in my life, and it was a rough time in my life. And then so it's like a coping mechanism, I think, that our subconscious does, and that makes total sense. But then at the same time, I lived in a place, I lived in Northern Canada not too long ago in a place on the coast in Labrador, and you know, we used to see whales and dolphins all the time. So I don't know if it was a premonition of future things that I would see as an everyday occurrence, or if it was a coping mechanism. So either way, I mean, it was truly fascinating, but I haven't dreamt about dolphins in many years. And then I used to dream about whales. And the place that I moved to, the old Inuit name of the place was the place of the whales. So it was really, and that just came in my head then, that not only was it an enjoyable dream that may have been a coping mechanism, but it might have been a premonition as well.
Right, that's interesting. I love it. That's beautiful, actually. But we're going to take a quick commercial break from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.
And we're back. And Nancy, I wanted to touch on this dolphins. You know, dolphins, I just love the dolphins, and I've been, when I did a show on it, it was because of my personal passion for them. And I lived down here in California, and they're just cool. They surf around with the surfers out here. And
they're beautiful.
They're beautiful, and I'm against captive. I'm against all those dolphins that are taken without their will. When I was younger, we used to go to our family vacation. My dad was a yacht racer, but he never joined us. So we go to Catalina. That was our, go on the boat. And it was never anything. I remember the guest I had, Iona Selkie's, wonderful woman. She was talking about, and I, as a matter of fact, they said, yeah, I saw the dolphins. She thought maybe I meant, it's from SeaWorld or something. I thought, no, in Catalina, we just jump in the water. They just come up and start hanging around with us. It wasn't like we would seek them out.
They're so friendly.
They're so healing, though. So maybe I seek in that dream that you're having. It's very, and like Craig was saying, but they're humans in the water, and they're very healing.
Totally.
They're healing, and they're just lovely. So yeah. It could have been a nice, it's like a healing so much. I just think dolphins and whales are also part of the dolphin family, but I think it's lovely to have, I love the dolphins.
And he mentioned the animal totem too, and I do, sometimes I'll do animal totem card readings and people can find out who their animal guides are, and maybe the whale and the dolphin at the time were my guides, because they're supposed to be two animals that walk side by side with you that change over your lifetime depending on your needs. So maybe at the time I needed the dolphin and the whale. So
perhaps, that's very true. That's really neat. Mm-hmm. I'd like to just dream about them forever. But Phil, do dreams Phil, I have one for you. Do dreams have any purpose?
Maybe you're chasing them with the gun or something.
Yeah. I am a dog. Phil, do dreams have any purpose, or are they just random thoughts? I like this question that I'm asking you. Random thoughts because we can't turn off our brains, or we can't turn our brains off.
I should know the answer to that question, but...
Yeah, I guess you should.
Our dreams... I believe that we have them for a reason. They're bringing up issues and things that we're not ready to deal with on one side. And it's the universe hitting you in the head going, hello, you need to stop doing that, or you need to start doing that, whatever it might be. And that's why you have those reoccurring dreams. So if I were to look at the dolphin riding, I'd look at the water as being emotion, just like in the tower deck.
Right.
And the dolphin as your animal guide, and you know what that means. And you were just in a bad time, I believe, at this time, and just going away from it all and feeling safe, secure, and riding on your wave of emotions. So dreams are actually telling us something. And I don't think we can turn our brains off. So our subconscious is always just kicking things in there, but it's being helpful. It's trying to bring to surface what we won't pay attention to in the daytime.
Yeah. But do you think our brains and minds are the same thing?
I don't think so.
You know,
mine's not connected.
My daughter's going to school, UCSD, studying the brain, my brain. neuroscience. And, I was thinking about that. Someone brought up something about the mind and the brain. But, you know, I have dreams that I'm a sleepwalker. I sleepwalk and I'm in a dream state. It's not really great either. It's not. And I don't know if they serve any purpose or not.
I don't know, but sleepwalking's cool.
Oh, it's not. I've been a sleepwalker all my life. It's not because it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Uh-huh. I mean, it seems very like a fabulous lifestyle, but it's not. And you can get hurt. And I, you know, and that's happened to me. And especially when I have insomnia, I bet that's where I could probably go to the sleep study. What Craig does, you know, they do those sleep overnight studies for people. Mm. But you know, my dreams. Sometimes I have these dreams from my past, and things are on fire from my family home because there's a lot of sadness. What happened? You know, it was like I don't know. But sometimes I'm wondering, okay, why do I keep holding on to this stuff too? So serving a purpose or holding on, I think they can. I don't know.
It's probably telling you need to release whatever happened.
I know.
However, you can release that. Yeah.
But that's all well, and that's what's even worse. I think you're absolutely right, and I'm aware that that's probably the case, but still it happens.
Still it happens, and there it is.
So, I'm very, you know, I'm very, sometimes denial in Egypt would be really nice to be in. The denial in Egypt, you know, the work we do and stuff, I can't stay in denial very long about anything. Some people, sometimes it's kind of nice maybe, but I start thinking, why? Why would I have these, I mean, what purpose are they serving? Get over it. It's what I keep thinking, get over it and move on. But we can't turn our brain, you know, our brains are going. Maybe it's my mind that needs to be turned off, but I like how you worded the question I asked you, or is it because we can't turn our brains off?
Well, our brains are always going. I don't know if you've read maybe The Power of Now.
Oh, I have. I've read it like a million thousand times. I love Eckhart Tolle, everything.
Yeah, you usually have to read it about four times just to get the concept.
Yeah, I read.
Can you turn your brain off?
Well, sure.
Okay.
No, I know what The Power of Now is all about, but it's about in the now, and I think it's lovely, but I think our brains have a problem being turned off and being in it.
Oh, no. An extreme problem, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just because of who we are. And I think
who
it's because, yeah, well, who, we're not the dolphins. Well, we used to be the dolphins.
I think we can learn how to turn it off with meditation.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm a TMer from the 70s, and I still do not like it. Meditating. I mean, I have a hard time doing that. Sitting still because my brain.
Oh, I love it.
And, well, you know, transcendental meditation was pretty big in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I was one of them, but I still, you know, even for 2 seconds, I do try to meditate. Even for 2 seconds, it helps. But, I guess.
But even the thought of not thinking a thought is thinking a thought.
You're right. That's
a
thought.
If that made sense. Did I say
that
right?
Well, it makes sense. Of course it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I've read The Power Now about 1,000 times.
Well, that was actually Camelot, but...
Well, Camelot, well, I can start singing show tunes now.
Sweet, let's hear one.
Don't start me in that one, okay. Camelot. What is, Nancy, what is your philosophy, about dreams, symbolic, and premonitions?
Well, I was reading a book many, many, many years ago, and it was about how to interpret dreams, and there was, at the time, there was a lot of talk about symbols, and I'm not sure if I really agree with that theory, but I like the one, you know, I do believe it can be a premonition, and like Craig was talking about, we've been talking about, you know, a way to cope with things, and you know, the animal totems being there and guiding us. So I think it's a way that we can cope with our lives when we're awake, and also a premonition about things to come. So, you know, like I said, years ago, I was always confused by, you know, if you dreamt about a tire on your car, it meant that you were going to eat an apple the next day, stuff like that. But I have a hard time with that. I really didn't get it, and I think that I have a hard time with the symbol theory.
Right. No, I understand. And symbolic theory or symbol is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, you know, when you dream about something, you're not dreaming about what it is.
It's about
what you're dreaming is.
I get it, because you know those dream dictionaries you buy.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're talking about? Sometimes you get those.
Well, it was the course that I did, and I know, I think things have changed over the last 10 years with, you know, there people are more aware of what their dreams are, and we've become more intuitive as a society, and, you know, more aware of our intuition and things, and I think that, you know, symbols, it's almost like, you know, mathematical when you're thinking about it, but it's not that clear cut. It's not like astrology where, you know, it's you know, a lot of specifics involved. I think dreams is more you know, there's more open you know, it's more open for discussion, and there's more opportunity to get different perspectives on the same dream, you know.
Right, I agree absolutely. We're ready to do call-ins. I wanted to get that call-in number again. And it's 724-444-4851. And we already have a caller for Nancy from, I believe it was from, I got it right here. It's hi, caller from, Pennsylvania. Hi, caller.
Hello, this is Victoria from Pennsylvania. How are you guys?
Hi, Victoria. Nancy's going to read for you. This is Victoria. Go on, Nancy.
Hi, Victoria. How are you?
Great. Hi, Nancy. So I'm in a difficult soulmate situation. He's married to someone else who's now coming back into the country after a year-long absence, and it's really difficult for both of us to kind of know how to approach this and what our relationship should be like, and just the idea of separation between us. So I just want to know what you see that's coming up and maybe how we should approach this.
Okay, so this person, the other ex-spouse, I guess, was gone for a while?
Yeah, she's in another country. Yeah, they're still married.
Okay. Well, I see the outcome, like, really be good for you, and what's happening is not going to affect your relationship in a very negative way. There is going to be some impact, of course, as there always is when there's, you know, another person drawn into the loop, but I think that your relationship with him, what I'm seeing here is that you're very solid, and I think you know that you have a solid relationship, and I think that the other person, I'm kind of sensing that it's over. I mean, even though, you know, they're married and there's a connection between them, it's not an emotional love connection. It's more, you know, we were together, that's it, it's in the past. So I see it as being in the past, and I see that your connection with him is very very strong. Now, at the same time, I'm seeing that I think he's feeling a lot of pressure, because I think it's worrying you more than it is him. So I think he's feeling a lot of your frustration and fear around this, so that's kind of bothering him. But the whole situation with this other person coming back into the country is not going to affect your relationship as a couple. And the only thing that will affect it is that, you know, the fear that you have that may, you know, upset you, and then of course there'll be a ripple effect and you'll upset him and everything like that. But I think, you know, have you guys talked about it at all?
Oh yeah, we've talked about it a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, and so things are okay then? Does he feel?
Yeah, well, he seems to be, yeah, actually right now he seems to be pretty much more upset about it than I am. He just doesn't really know what to do, you know. I mean, it's like he loves two people and just doesn't know what to do.
Okay, because I think that some of his upset is the fact that, you know, he doesn't want to upset you, and I think that, you know, just because the person was physically gone, you know, if there was a strong love connection between him and her, I mean, he would have, you know, there'd be no discussion or decision for him to make. So I think you guys are very, there's a lot more of a strong bond between both of you than you both realize, and I think that he's just nervous about, he has a fear of what could happen, not really of what's going to happen, because I don't see anything happening between you both as a couple, and that things, once you get over this little bump, I think things are going to be fine. So there is going to be a little hiccup where you guys have some adjustments to make, and he goes through, you know, the guilt stuff and oh my kind of thing that everybody goes through when they're in a situation where they've had a long-term relationship with somebody else. So I wouldn't worry about it, you know, just cope with things as they change, and then it'll fall back into place.
Mm-hmm. Do you see him yeah. getting a divorce?
Eventually, I sense that he'll be getting a divorce, and I think that it's not going to happen right away, because what I'm seeing is that he needs a bit of a period of adjustment once, you know, the person is back in the country. So it's not going to happen overnight, and he's going to have some adjustment time to deal with the change in his life and the different dynamic that this person is going to bring into your life. And then eventually, yes, there will be a divorce. And these things don't happen overnight anyway, you know, legally. So you've got the emotions and the, you know, every time something ends, there's a grieving that someone has to go through. So even though there mightn't be as much as of emotion as there was before, there's still an ending of a relationship that he has to deal with. So that's what you're seeing with him. He's grieving the ending of a relationship, and then of course it's the, you know, getting the energy up to start the paperwork, and then the paperwork itself takes a long time. So there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through to get through the divorce. So good things mm-hmm. are coming. Yeah, it's just to be okay. patient and let the paperwork and the, you know, the feelings sort themselves out.
Right. Okay, so my thought kind of is like, it's hard for me to be around, you know, when she's around, and so that's going to be difficult for me. So my thought was really not to do that, whereas he wants us to be friends, which I think is just, like, too hard.
Yeah, and you got to follow your heart, you know, and I think that, you know, even calling in here tonight, I mean, you're asking for help and support, and I think you realize that you need to look after yourself. So I think if it gets to a point where you need to back out, I think you're strong enough to know when that time is. But I think that there's going to be a few hiccups, and things will sort themselves out. There's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride, but it's not going to be that bad.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Nancy. And we have a call from Washington State for Phil. Hello, Washington State.
Hi, Washington
and
State.
Who am I speaking? Okay, hi, Phil. My name's Smiling Face. And Maureen told me, excuse me, I've been sick for a while. Maureen told me for a while ago that I'll be ending my marriage this year, or she agreed with me that I would be, and that I financially that I would be okay. Can you see exactly how that is going to happen, or give me more information about that? Because I am actually unemployed at this time, so finances are a concern.
Let me take. Okay, and what was your name again? Smiley Face?
Smiley Face.
Okay, yeah. And I'm not going to disagree with Maureen, because she has a mean streak, so.
Well, if you do, I would like to know that too. I will not at all.
Now, actually, your money is going to turn around. I'm throwing some cards down for you. And you're kind of in a funk. You're not happy right now. But your money is going to turn around. And I'm going to say probably in about 4 months feels good. And that's when it looks like you're going to be very emotionally free. So I would get rid of those money worries is what's going on. Because you are going to be peaceful and get your power back. You'll probably start seeing that happen in about 2 months. Is there money coming in from anywhere? Is there a house being sold? Is what's coming to mind?
No, not at all. No. No.
No, not at all. Okay.
No, no. The money's coming from state agencies, and that's going to end in within 2 months. So, and there's no houses at all. I rent. I don't own any property or anything like that.
Okay. Is there a man in your life?
There is, but he's the one that I'm divorcing.
And you're divorcing him. Okay.
Right.
Good.
But that hasn't started to take place yet. That was what my advice was from Maureen was the last time I spoke with her, was whether I was going to be doing that this year or not, or if I would.
And you will be.
And I
actually see another man in there too, which could be where your money's coming from.
See, that's interesting because she saw two men also, and both men that she described are my husband. He can be two men at the same time. So the two people that she described are my husband. So I'm really confused as to seeing a different man. Can you give me a description of the man you see?
The man I see is a control freak, businessman style, the father figure. He's in control of everything, though, very watchful. And
now, is this the good guy in my life or the bad guy in my life?
I'm going with that as your husband, currently.
Apparently.
I don't know his first name. Yeah. I'm trying to run a pendulum over the card. That tells me that confirms names. And that's the one that's going away.
Right.
And there's a lot of fiery energy attached to him, too. And he can be cruel. So, actually, the cards are telling me he can be heartless at times. Okay? So, you do need to get away from him. I mean, I just threw some cards down there that I really don't want to tell you about, but it says run. So that is the right thing to do. Okay?
You want to
know where your money's going to come from and how you're going to survive, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Anything else?
I just wanted to know financially if I'm going to survive I just want to make sure I financially survive it because I can't run unless I can survive that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. What I've got is your financial situation is going to take a downward dip.
Okay.
For a little bit, but then it looks like you're going to get employed because you have a very good money card with a group. So I'm going to interpret that as getting employed and probably even finding a job. See, it's like you're not seeking hard enough or looking in the right places right now. So you may want
to
expand your search
on
what you're doing.
I'm unable to work right now, but physically unable to.
You're physically unable. Okay, that's the worry.
Right.
That's the worry.
I'm sorry. I keep breaking up. So I'm physically unable, and in a couple months, I hope to be perfectly able to work, and so then I'm concerned about finances as to whether or not I will be able to go forward.
Are you telling me in a couple months you'll be physically able to work?
I hope so. I don't know.
Okay, good. Then everything made sense. And in a couple months you'll get employed.
Okay.
Okay. You'll be able to start seeking, looking for employment. Keep it open. Keep what you're looking for open. You're going to take a downward slide at the beginning financially, but then you're going to be able to turn it all around.
You see what actual employment area I should go into? If it
No, I do not. What is it you used to do?
I used to help people. I used to take them to their doctor's appointments. I couldn't, that were unable to. I used to drive for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. I loved my work.
And you loved helping the people was kind of the key there, I think. Yes?
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay, so you want to get into some kind of healing field, whatever that may be, whether it's, you know, doing that, doing it for a soup kitchen, massage therapy, counseling, whatever you're being driven to. And since we talked about dreams tonight, what you should do before you go to bed and just before you go to sleep is ask your guides and angels for direction.
All right.
What should I be doing for my next job? What am I drawn to? And you'll actually get the answer within a day or two.
That's a great idea. Too shy for that. It's smart. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's okay. I will. I'll keep on asking Casper what's up then.
That's a great idea.
My guy.
Casper. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks, smiley face.
Thanks, smiley face.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay, good luck.
Well, you can disagree with me for heaven's sake.
No, I'm afraid of you already.
So the next, hello, we have another caller from Orange County, my area, kind of. Hello, Orange County, this is who I think it is. Maybe? Hello, Orange County.
Hi, this is Lori.
I knew it was you, Lori. So you got me, Maureen, as your reader. Lori.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, I
haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. I'm so happy you called in, and now I'm reading for you.
I know. Great. I'm so excited. Hey, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I was recently received some information that someone put a curse on me, and regarding a relationship that I have, and I wanted to see what you saw regarding that.
I think, don't you remember what I was thought about that kind of stuff? But I think it's a bunch of crazy making issues. I think, is this from someone from the past that you had crazy that you released from that did this?
Remember the musician that you went to hear with me? He was a Japanese musician.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I've been having a relationship with him now for about 6 years, and
okay.
I was told that his ex-wife did it.
You know what? His ex-wife looks like a piece of work, and she looks like she could be very violent or raging. Like she'd be violent. Well, you know, her energy is one that's not verbal rage; it's a physical rage. I don't feel that she has any power over you whatsoever or anything, and I don't go for that kind of stuff anyway. I think it's just a bunch of, you know, I don't go for that stuff. And you know what, I do feel that you may think that you're on a bad road or you don't feel like you're in control of your life, but I think you're just about ready to release yourself from that old idea. Because I think what it is been an idea or presented to you, because I see you like real soon, almost like releasing from self-imprisonment.
Oh,
just,
really?
You know, liberating yourself from that. I don't feel this is your. I feel that you're completely in control of what direction you're taking. I think that this is something. I think you two are going to have some issues anyway, you in this relationship. But I feel that's because of what you decided to have. She is not. You know, I see her in the past being more like she thinks she's all that powerful. I don't feel anything about curses. I don't think anybody can take anybody's personal power. I think that people will believe that, and you may have. But I think that this is more. I see you moving forward in this relationship but having some issues with it, but they're your own issues, not because of her, the ex-girlfriend. You know?
Well, we've just been friends with benefits, but this person that told me about the curse told me that if I was a person, I would have him 110%, and I would have the relationship I always wanted to have with him. And so I just wanted to find out what you see, because I really love him a lot, Maureen.
Well, you know, I do feel that, like I said, I think that you're going to be, like, you're in the midst of very, very soon. It's like real soon, like in the next. Well, presently, I see you're going to be releasing yourself from feeling like you can't see, or you're tied up like in a prison. Your self-imprisonment is going to be over, which I think has a lot to do with this cursed stuff, whatever she proclaimed. She's not that powerful. She's an idiot. And the thing is, I do feel that you're moving towards a direction. It looks like you're going to have a little bit of a hard time, but it looks like there's some legal issue that's going to be very favorable. If there's anything surrounding you guys legally or him, that there was some unfairness, it's going to be positive. It's going to be positive. Maybe a trip. There's a little bit of difficulties ahead for you too, but I think that this has nothing to do with her, except there's some very positive legal situation that's going to be coming about. If there's anything like that's been going on, and I see you guys kind of, this is actually, I hate to say it, the harder our pains in ourselves, the better it works. Your relationship's going to thrive. You're hitting the six-year mark. You're going towards the seven-year mark, right? You've been working really hard, and you're getting tired. And it looks like, financially speaking, both of you look like you're going to be getting, there's going to be a lot of more easier feeling in your relationship financially.
Uh-huh.
If that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, like I said, we've just been friends with benefits for about 6 years, and I've been, going along with the game, but been wanting it to be more, and not understanding why it wasn't. And then this person told me that she had put this terrible spell on me, and it's really interesting, because when he and I first hooked up, I went through the worst storm. And it seems like I keep going through storm after storm after storm. And so I got to thinking, oh, my gosh, is there any truth to this? And so that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I trust you. I mean, I haven't seen you in, like, 10 years. I so trust you, and I love you so much. I really do.
Here's the thing. It's a lot easier to accept something like that would be a lot easier. I think that whatever you're going through, power of suggestion can really mess with, everybody should listen to this, it can mess with your head. And really, you tell someone they're going to have a heart attack, and a lot of times they believe that they have a heart attack. I don't feel she has any power over you at all, except you may feel that she has, and I'm not saying that you're delusional or anything like that, but I feel that you're about ready to just release from that stuff. Just release from it, and you're going to move forward, and take control of your life. You're moving forward. You two will have some issues like couples do, but I see you moving forward into the 7 year, and you know what? I think you're going to get a new agreement that will happen, but you need to be involved in this relationship and take a risk in making sure he's involved with it, and not just thinking that someone's messing with it. That's all. You know?
Okay.
It's really, and I'll get into this with you later when we have more time, but, I think that you really need to set her out of this picture, because it just breaks my heart when I hear about stuff like this. And you're a strong woman, and that is ridiculous. And that woman needs to get...
The person that gave me the information, they want me to give them, like, a whole lot of money to get this off, and I'm like thinking,
that's that right there. Everybody, listen to this. Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't, Laura. I'll talk to you later. I can't get into it real because I don't have a lot of time on these calls here. But yeah, Laura, that right there is telling you that's ridiculous. I'll let you have a good one. Talk to you.
All right.
I talk to you more later.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Maureen. I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'll connect with you, Laura. But, yeah, everybody, I hope you take a note of this call, because this happens too much, and it really upsets me to hear people wanting money to break the spell. All that stuff, it's not right. It's not true. It's not fact. So, Laura, hang in there. I will talk to you more in depth, but she doesn't have any power. No, absolutely not. Don't give any money to anybody. No.
Okay.
Okay, Laura.
Right. Well, love you.
Love you, too, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right.
See, that's where we all need to, Nancy, we have New Jersey. Hi, New Jersey.
Hi.
And what's your name?
I'm going to tell you my name is Renee this time.
Renee, this is Nancy. Go for it, Nancy.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I'm very
How are
depressed.
You?
I'm okay, but kind of depressed. For months now, I've been worrying, and everybody, okay, Steve says the court hearing is going to be cleared, which was true. You're going to get in the job you wanted, which was true. You're going to get an apartment, which is true. I just got an apartment. But nobody
Good
could tell
you.
Me I've got a line of around about time my best friend is coming back in my life. The truth of the matter is my best friend used to be my lover. And she's with someone else, and then we end up being best friends eventually. But I'm on this roller coaster ride. One minute I don't want to be bothered. Next minute I do, but deep down I care. She's like a best friend, and she's like a sister other than whatever she was to me. And I was told by the police that the best friend, that her girlfriend had went to California because she's running from the police. And now they're back together. She's going to call me. She's not going to call me. She's going to come home because she left the state of Jersey and went to New York. I'm in Maryland now, and I'm 45 minutes from where she used to live. I was told she was coming home. Mm-hmm. Her mother is calling me 24/7, and now she's calling me daughter dear. And this lady didn't even like me before. I miss my best friend so bad. I feel like I'm going crazy. I mean, I'm trying. They say get over it. Go on with your life. I just seem to have problems with that. Help me.
Okay.
I'm going to find.
If you hear some noise in the background, it's my crazy cats. So just ignore it. They're helping me tonight.
Okay.
And that's too bad. That you're going through all that. I mean, I can really hear it in your voice that it's really bothering you, and you know, it is a difficult thing because, you know, it's like being betrayed almost by somebody that you really care about, and that can be, you know, really damaging to our emotions, and, you know, but I see that, you know, you're going to be able to handle this, and I think that, is there someone else in your life besides her?
I'm married. I have a family. I have a husband that we're not even, we never became one. I'm in Maryland. He's in New Jersey. It's like he won't even move here. And I don't even know if I want him to move here. We've been married 28 years. We never became one in our marriage. That's why I got involved there. And the person that my best friend was in my life since 1994. And last year is when everything went crazy. I mean, out of all these years, now you're going to act crazy. We had always planned to get an apartment together once I moved to Maryland because I moved because of the military BRAC. And I was hoping she was going to be my roommate at one time, and we was, and then all of a sudden she wasn't. Now I'm just living in an apartment by myself with my dog. I'm not moving into my apartment until July. And I'm hoping by July. Her mother keeps calling me and telling me she's still with the person. The girl's husband tells me that she's in California. The police department says she's in California. And then someone else tells me she's back with friends, with the person. And it's like they're on and off, on and off. And then everybody tells me, oh, she still care about you. I love her like I've never loved anybody. But it's like, I don't know what is going on. Should I just give up? One minute I say I'm going to give up. Next minute, I say, I can't seem to just pull away emotionally. I could just give up for a few minutes, and then I'm back into praying and hoping. And then her mom calls me, like, all of a sudden this lady calls me all the time. One minute she's telling me that she's, you know, she's doing well. Then deep down I'm thinking she's doing not that well because she sold all my furniture to move there, you know.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm getting a sense here, like, she does care, but I think that, you know, someone like that, and her included, they don't care too much about themselves. So she's doing all this, you know, self-destructive behavior and bringing down everybody in her path with her, and it's hard to have a relationship with someone like that, because if they don't care about themselves enough, it's hard for them to care about somebody else. So it's hard for her to put a lot of effort into having. Yeah.
She's always been a caring person. She's always been a little loose in the, I mean, a little slow a little bit, but she's made bad decisions most of the time I've known her.
Yeah.
And she's going in and out of relationships. She's this is the first time I was shocked to find out that she sold all her furniture and took off with this woman that has
bench warrants
with her. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She got bench warrants. She was supposed to show up in court. This girl is, she went with, deserted her own child and a babysitter. She has violation of a probation she running away from.
Oh. Yeah, so not a good person to be involved with. And
no,
I think you know that, and I know it's really hard emotionally to tear away from somebody like that, but I don't see it here that it's going to go anywhere. And I think that, you know, you could wait around and wait around, and eventually, you know, at some point you guys would get together, but, you know, it would be a long time, and do you really want that? But, and I see other people, you know, coming into your life and you being happy. So I think as long as you're caught up in trying to make this work out, you're closing the door on other people that are waiting to come into your life.
So you don't.
And I see that, you know, there's
got
to, right now it's not going to work out with her. Like, I see that she just keeps you down, and you're kind of under her thumb, so there's a lot of controlling. Like, your life is being controlled by her, so it's never
going to
work out. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you very well.
How is she controlling me if she's not even around me?
Yeah, well, because you're waiting for, yeah. Because you're waiting, because it's like an indirect kind of control, because you're waiting. Eating, and you're trying so hard to, you know, to wait and work things out with somebody that's not there. And, you know, I think eventually that she would come back, but it's going to be a long time down the road, and I don't think you'd be very happy. And
did
so
she care?
I see. Yeah.
Steve said she cared, at least. I mean, she was coming back.
Yeah.
She's telling me she's coming back soon.
Yeah, she does. She does care, like, and I'm seeing that, like, she does really care about you, but she's struggling with all these issues that, you know, makes her do these, you know, like you said, she makes these bad choices, and, you know, so she's just a very unhappy person, and, you know, she's making you unhappy with her. So I think there's a lot of soul searching that you have to do, whether you're willing to invest a lot of emotions in this.
Is she happy with the person she's with?
No, she's a very unhappy woman. A very unhappy woman. Yeah.
Why
so
do
I think. Yeah, I think that you know, you've got a lot of soul searching to do, and you can make a decision whether, you know, you move on with your life and meet somebody else, or if you sit around and wait. So I think there's a decision that's totally up to you, what you want to do.
Why did her mom keep calling me?
I think her mom is worried, and that's the ripple effect that she's having. You know, she's making these bad choices, and she's making all these other people worry about her. And I guess her mom knows that there's a connection with you, because she does have this connection. And, you know, so there is a connection there, and you know, it doesn't mean it's a good thing. It's not a good relationship, so...
I'm sorry.
It's a herd issue.
But Nancy,
sure.
You'll be on afterwards. Maybe you can take. I mean, she'll be there.
Sure.
Psychic accents. But yeah, we need to move on. We have other calls. But sorry, but
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Calling, and good luck
thank
with
you.
That. Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, bless bye. Your heart.
Yeah.
And we have it's hard. And bless her heart. And we have a call from New York for Phil. Hi, New York.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. How can I help you?
Well, it's actually my birthday, and my name is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
How are you?
Happy birthday again.
Thank you. So I got like 25 Facebook emails saying happy birthday to me, and it's like I'm so overwhelmed with like all this like people that are wishing me happy birthday, but there's this man that was in my life, is in my life, don't know if he's coming back in my life, Dan. And I've known him since like 2004, and he hasn't wished me a happy birthday this year or last year or whatever. I don't know if I should keep waiting for him or not. And there's so many, it's so complicated issues with him. Like, he was married. I don't know if he is married. I don't know what's going on in his life.
Okay. Do you want the quick, blunt answer, or shall I drag it out for you?
I don't know. Whatever you think is best.
Dan is not good for you. We'll put it that way. And for you to get emotionally free and become all womanly and happy again, you need to make that change. You need to make that judgment call to get on with your life. Okay? And it's going to be very hard for you to do, so you really have to be strong and prepare yourself for it. Because you do need to make that change, but it's going to emotionally rip you for a couple of months while you're getting through it. Okay? Let's see if there's a plus side for you. Because we want to give you good news on your birthday. So, you're pretty much going to go through a rebirth, which takes about 3 months. Do you know what that is? Victoria? Hello, hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go through a rebirth, which is kind of just looking into your soul, getting rid of what doesn't work for you, so you can bring in things that do. And once you're able to release that, then you're going to meet your soulmate. Okay?
I mean, I thought he was it, you know? Like, I can feel him through my hands. I think it's him. I don't know, like, what the hell is going on.
No. I'm not getting him as the soulmate. And let me just run a pendulum over the card real quick. Is that you and Dan? That is not. So, I would love to tell you it was. But...
I mean, like, was he just playing with me? Because I know that he was married. And I felt like he was, like, starting to have feelings for me a couple years ago. And I don't know what happened.
A couple years ago. All right, so you've been hanging on for it for a long time. Let me see if I can catch your card here. Give me about two more flips. Okay, once again, I'm getting it's best to release him, but emotionally, a couple years ago, he just wasn't ready for it, for the big relationship.
But he was married.
He's married.
He's married, or he was married, or whatever. Is he married now?
Is he married now? Let's see. I'm going to go for a yes now. Is Dan married now? Is Dan married now? I have him coming through as not married currently.
So, I mean, like, why isn't he with me if he's not married? I mean, like, I'm on Facebook with him. Like, he finally added me on Facebook, like, a couple of months ago, you know? Like, I've emailed him, like, back and forth, like, a few times.
Has it just started picking up
like
slowly?
I love
recently.
This man. Like, you don't understand.
Margaret?
Hello? Yeah?
Okay. He's on Facebook. Go ahead.
He's just, like, I love him. I mean, like, I fell in love with him, like, years ago. Like, I've loved him since I've met him.
And you want him back.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to release him. And that's your choice. So let's see how to get him back. Okay. It's going to take a while to get him back. The card that came up is two seeds planted deep into the ground, and they grow through a labyrinth, which takes time, and then they eventually join together and make a flower. Okay? Which just says it's going to be a lot of building process. If you want to go that path, go ahead. It's going to be hard in the beginning, because he is actually looking, well, he knows he was foolish the first time. He was younger then, and there was a lot of energy there. So he may be old enough now to reassess it, okay? But if you want it, you're going to have to, and he is always on your head. So, and we're calling him your sunshine. And in this deck, the sun bleeds, so you have to go through a lot of pain to get to the sun, and it looks like you've gone through most of the pain already. You just need to go get him and work things out.
But it's like you said that he's going to email me or get into contact with me today, and he hasn't.
I did. I thought he was going to shoot you an email today, contact you, and say happy birthday, and he did not.
You know why he didn't?
I don't know why he did not. It's... And I'm not feeling it. I know it. I'm getting it doesn't make you happy, things to that nature, but I don't know why he did not. Yeah. It's like he still has emotional stuff for you that he's not come to truce with yet, and he doesn't know where he stands and where his line is.
I mean, does he know that I love him?
Does he know that you love him? I'm going to phrase that two different ways. He knows that you used to love him.
Mm-hmm.
Does he know that you love him now? He doesn't know that you love him now. Can he love you again? And all I'm doing is asking the pendulum and the universe to move it. And yes, he can love you again. But there's going to be work, it's going to take time, and you're going to have to get over the breakup from years ago to go forward. Because there's a lot of emotional baggage kind of floating around, and I think it was just due to youth. Not you, but youth.
Mm-hmm. I know, because I mean, we've never been together, but I've known him.
Go ahead.
He's been a therapist. I mean, like a physical therapist. So he's known my body.
Have you mentioned it to him yet? Because I see you need to be the aggressor.
I know. I mean,
you're the one that needs to make this happen if you want it to happen. You need to manifest it.
But I mean, I don't know how. Like, what am I supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do? Do the girls want to jump in on this one? How to trap a man? Come on.
Unfortunately, I don't know. We're actually out of time. I think you've done a great job on the your man end of it. Really, it's
sad that he didn't wish me happy birthday. Like, I don't want to go and attack him.
Guys are guys. I don't know. You know, it's a little bit more complicated. It sounds like than the time we have allowed for the short readings that we do. But no, I don't know. We need to move on. But it's your birthday, Ryan. Happy birthday! And I think that you should just. I think you should just, you know, have a great birthday. And I think that if he's an idiot, he's an idiot if he doesn't do that. You know, really, bottom line, yeah.
There you go.
Really.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So bless your heart. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
It's hard to do readings in a short period of time because we don't have, you know, the...
Mm-hmm.
the luxury of doing readings to get down to the meat. But Phil, you were a lovely reader. You're a guy.
Yes.
Anyway, so
did you say for a guy?
No, you're a guy. It's great to have a guy inside. I think for relationships.
Thank you.
I love the way you read it. I just first now know it. So we're gonna, end. But happy birthday to her, and you know she should just have a good day.
It's very happy birthday.
Yep. Yes. So
she deserves it.
She does, and she's in. The guy doesn't need to be. She needs to find some better person. Anyway, so that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. And thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Again, Nancy and Phil, you're joining us makes for a great team. And so next week's show is anchored by Sharon. And so Sharon's not here, but she has a real great show planned. It's called Change Your Handwriting, Change Your Life with Vamilia, I don't know if I pronounce Rogers. But I know I'm really looking forward to that show, the handwriting, because we've never done anything. No, we've never done a topic on it. So I'm saying goodnight, and then the other two of you can go for your goodnights too.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, it was a great show. Bye-bye.